Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
Well, good morning. Anybody thankful for the grace of God that you've experienced in your life? If you are, could you make some noise, please? Good. That's awesome. If you're watching online, we're really glad that you are here. Our online campus is fairly new and growing, and we want to give you a personal welcome. So MLC in the house, would you make some noise for MLC online? Glad you guys are here. We want to give you a personal invite to be here anytime you'd like on Sunday 9, 10:30, or noon. It's an awesome place to experience God's presence, and our online campus is growing by leaps and bounds. It's hard to imagine for me how quickly that online campus has grown. Last weekend alone, there were over 400 live viewers, live IP addresses viewing, so there's really no way to know how many people that is, but that's awesome, isn't it? That's awesome. It's awesome when you realize that there are real people on the other end of that technology who are able to be introduced to who we are and experience the grace of God through this amazing media of video. And it seems like every day someone tells me a story about someone who saw us on video and had a life transformation moment. And so it is really, really very real, the life transformation that's happening online. So I'm glad you guys are here. Can we do this together too? All of the people who were involved in our hospitality and the donuts and the cafe, could we please give them a big round of applause for providing that for us? Thank you guys. Michelle and Clara and Sylvia, thank you guys so much. That is awesome. Before we get into the message, there's one other individual that I want to introduce. A friend of our church is with us. His name is Samuel McKenna, and he is active duty Air Force Staff Sergeant. And where are you, Staff Sergeant McKenna? Would you please stand so we can recognize you? Thank you for your service. Thank you. He and his wife and little baby are here, and he is active duty. Tell me the baby's name. Rosalie, oh yeah, she's awesome, and he's about to be deployed again, and so we are really, really appreciative of his service. He's guarding us while we sleep, and that means something to me. I know it means something to you too, so thank you again to you and your family for your service. Awesome. Well, it's a Denim and Donuts, which is an awesome opportunity for you to experience who we are as a church. If you are a guest, we're really glad that you are here. If you've already had donuts, I trust that the energy of the sugar has not put you into a coma just yet. And if you're waiting till after the service to have your donuts and milk and coffee, I understand that I stand between you and the sugary bliss that you came here for. So we'll get right to it, won't we? Today, I want to talk to you about a very important subject called the grace of God. And Jesus never really defines for us what the grace of God is, but over and over Jesus tells stories that doesn't define for us what grace is, but really shows us what the grace of God does. And what I want you to understand is you need the grace of God. I need the grace of God. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you need some grace. Go ahead and tell them. And I want you to pick somebody else and say this. I want you to say, they really do need grace. Trust me on that. They need it big time. And the grace of God, grace isn't just something you say before your meals. Grace isn't just something you get that causes you to get to go to heaven. It is something that will really transform and change our life. In fact, grace is what makes our faith extremely unique and unlike any other. It is the truth that God loves you, that God loves me unconditionally. That is an unparalleled reality not found in any other of the world's religions. In fact, you'll see that every other religion has a pathway that says you must do this in order to earn God's approval and God's acceptance. But the faith that Jesus introduced us to, the message that Jesus declared to a hurting and dying world that still continues today is this: God loves you and God loves me just as we are and just as I am. He loves you just the way you are. In fact, he often loves me in spite of the way that I am. Somebody say amen to that. He loves me unconditionally, without reservation. Now, this is an extremely difficult concept for human beings to grasp, because it seems as though we're hardwired to be reluctant to receive this type of life-transforming free gift. But like a visitor to a strange land, Jesus comes and points out what we have overlooked. If you've ever been to an amazing place, you notice the things that the people who are native to that area see all the time and take for granted. My wife and I, we were just in Boston. And we flew in really early in the morning. And we went, one of the things on my bucket list of things to do before I die was to see Fenway Park. Now, I hate the Boston Red Sox, but did anybody else hate the Boston Red Sox? I know we're in church. Are you allowed to hate something? You hate the Boston Red, three of you hate the Boston Red Sox. Go Tribe. I should get some support on that. I don't know whether I should tell you this part or not, because you might form an opinion about me, but I'll tell you anyway. I'm rooting for the Indians to lose tonight. Not for the reason you think, ma'am and sir. Because if we go to game six, I got tickets. And then check this out. They're free. Okay. So we go into Boston. We land in Boston. It's like an amazing city. It's an amazing place. And so we go to Fenway Park, and if you were here last week, Angie and I recorded an intro video in front of Fenway, and I'm like, let's go in. Let's not just see the outside. Let's go in and see the inside. And so we go through, and they show us the Green Monster, which is an icon in the baseball world. We get to go and sit on top of the Green Monster. It's amazing. I got to see the pole that Pudge Fisk hit in game six, and I got to see it. I took a picture of it, and it was awesome. And then we went into the press box. We went into the locker room. I thought it was a mistake, and I brought this up to the tour guide. See, I'm the visitor, and I brought something up to the native. I thought, everywhere we go, we're seeing these stands with food, concessions. And I'm waiting, I'm thinking, we had to pay to take this tour. Certainly, one of the concession stands is going to be open because they want to sell me a souvenir cup or a lobster roll, or they want to sell me something, right? And so we go through the whole thing, and I'm like, hey, you made a mistake. You're losing revenue. He's like, what are you talking about? All the concessions are closed. He said, sir, it's 10 a.m. I said, I don't care. I would have bought a soda. I would have bought something just to say I bought something in Fenway Park. What point am I making? The natives, the ones who are there every day, they overlooked a small but significant opportunity. When Jesus came in a much more extravagant, large scope, here's what he did. He realized that we had overlooked something that he presented to us. We have overlooked the unconditional love of a God, and he brought to us this love and showed it to us. And after story after story after story, he unpacks the grace of God. And what I want to do is I want us to look at a story. I want to look at a story in Luke chapter 15. So if you have your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 15. And it's kind of a lengthy story. And it's a fairly familiar story. But it's the story of the prodigal son, or the lost son. Jesus tells three stories back to back after being accused of hanging out with the wrong people. Jesus is hanging out with the tax collectors and the sinners and the outcasts of society. And the religious folks, they get upset by this, as they often do. And they get upset with Jesus for hanging out with the wrong people. Maybe, let me just pause here and say something to you. If you know God and you've been walking with God for a long time, could we all agree that one thing we should guard ourselves against is self-righteousness? The belief that we in and of ourselves have done something to earn God's love and then act superior to those who are around us, whether they do or don't have a relationship with Christ. I think self-righteousness is one of the most disgusting things that we'll ever come across as human beings. It just kind of, it makes me gag. It is the spiritual comparison that I can make. It's the spiritual equivalent of split pea soup to me. And that may not be strong enough for you because you may love split pea soup, but as a little kid, I came home from playing outside and my stepmom made split pea soup and she said, "You have to eat this. This is your lunch and this is all you're getting." Now, I appreciate that attitude now as a parent that, you know, we don't have to have a buffet of everything that everyone likes all the time. Like, I get that attitude. But, I mean, can you not serve trash? How many parents of teenagers do I have out there? Let me see your hands if you're the parent of a teenager. So here's the deal in my house. Like, we could go to great lengths and never get everyone to agree on what's for dinner. Any parent know what I'm talking about? So you could put out a whole bunch of options. This day, the only option that was made available to me was split pea soup, and I kind of got a little bit defiant. I'm like, I'm not eating this soup. There's only one thing I found that's worse than split pea soup. Cold split pea soup. My stepmom stuck to her guns, and I'm like, I'm going to out-stubborn this woman. Finally, she said, "You got to eat the number of bites of your age." I'm like, okay. I think it's making me a little nauseous right now just thinking about it, to be honest. I'm getting a little gaggy. So I eat it, and by the last bite, I finish, and I vomit all over the table. If you've ever seen The Exorcist, which I haven't, I'm told that's kind of what it looked like. That's why I say that I think the spiritual equivalent of self-righteousness is split pea soup, because it makes me sick. It's disgusting. It's unhelpful. And the grace of God kind of has a way of settling the score when we realize that what we do and what we don't do isn't a big deal. It's what Jesus has done for us that is the major deal that we should build a foundation of our life upon. And Jesus begins to try to explain this to folks. And he uses stories. And the one story he uses is the story of a son. In Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11, here's what the scripture says. "Then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered everything together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he, the son, would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Verse 17, but when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose, came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. So here's the picture. The son asks for his inheritance, takes his part, wastes it, goes away, parties it up and wastes everything, finds himself face first in a pig pen and in a pig trough trying to fight the swine for food, and he realizes there must be a better way. Verse 17 says this, and he came to himself. When he came to himself. See, listen, every single person in this place, you have experienced a low point in your life. You have experienced some type of equivalent to being face first in the mud, in the muck, and in the garbage, fighting for your life, being in that lowest of moments, whether it be emotionally, physically, or spiritually. And here was the trigger for this young man. He came to himself. He realized he didn't need to be there. Here's point number one for what the grace of God does in our life. The grace of God sinks clear to the bottom. In other words, there is no low that you can experience. There is no depth of despair that you can endure and go through. There is nothing that will exempt you and get you away from the reach of the grace of our God. See, listen, it doesn't matter how bad it's been. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. It doesn't matter how difficult life has been. The grace of God is strong enough to find you no matter what your situation or your circumstance. And that is amazing news, because here's what I get concerned about, that sometimes we take on a self-righteous attitude and we forget that at one point in our life, we were face down in the dirt. We were fighting the pigs for food. We were conducting ourselves in ways that we wouldn't want published on the front page of the newspaper tomorrow. We were in a low situation and circumstance, and God's grace and love rescued us and ransomed us out of the situation that we were in. And it is amazing to know that he loves you no matter what. No matter what you did. Here, let me just make it real plain for you. I don't care if you smoked a joint on your way to church this morning. He loves you. I don't care if you kicked the dog on the way out of the house while you were lighting that bowl. He still loves you. It's absolutely true. See, but listen, we're conditioned in our humanity to look at our problems and at our darkness and at our weakness and at our filth. But what we need and what the grace of God will do, the grace of God will reach into your life and it will cause you to come to a moment where you say, there is something better in this life for me than what I'm experiencing. I can come up from this. I do not have to live in this difficulty. I do not have to live in this darkness. I do not have to live in this situation that is above me. I can reach for a God who loves me and will change my life. But for the grace of God, make some noise so the people on screen know you're actually in the room. Grace sinks clear to the bottom and will change us. He comes to himself. And many of us have come to that moment. And maybe before you leave, you need to have that moment where you're like, wait a minute. I don't need to stay here. I'm not where I need to be. God's grace is ready to reach out to you right where you are. He made a decision. He got up out of that mess, and he started heading home. And in the middle of his mess, this is how I imagine it, every step of the way, after laying in that pen with those hogs, head first in the trough, fighting for the food. I have a suggestion. My suggestion is that as he walked all that long way home in the heat, my theory is he didn't smell better when he got home than when he left. I think the stank grew. I think every step of the way, he stunk more and more and more. The Bible says this, his father saw him a long way off and had compassion on him. The grace of God, it sees you coming from a mile away, and it runs towards you. It doesn't run away from you. It runs toward you in your filth and in your stink, and it just reaches his arms around me, even in the middle of my mess, in the middle of my junk, and says, I love you. I'm going to give you new clothes. I'm going to give you a ring. Here's the thing about grace you have to understand. Grace gives you better than you deserve. Grace doesn't give you what you deserve. Grace gives you better than you deserve. See, don't worry about you saying, oh, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve that. That's okay, because that's what grace is. Grace is giving you better than you deserve. Hallelujah. See, here's what I deserve. Here's what I deserve. Because I'm a sinner. And a sinner deserves death, hell, and the grave. Here's what I deserve. I deserve to pay for my sins. I deserve to pay for my wrongdoing. That's what I deserve. That's what my merits have earned me. That's what my humanity has gained for me. But Jesus said, no, 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 no. I'm going to come and I'm going to take your place and I'm going to give you better than you deserve. I'm going to give you the best that heaven has to offer. That, my friends, is the grace of God. Gives you better than you deserve. My grandma, I don't know if we have a picture or not, but I hope maybe we can. Do we have a picture? Oh, yeah. Leave it up there for a minute. Isn't she awesome looking? So this is my nanny, and she'll be 90 in February. And this is my new favorite picture of me and nanny. Look how happy she is. You know how to know when she's happiest? She's happiest when she's doing something for somebody else. She's happiest when she's making me breakfast. She's happiest when she's folding my clothes. As a little kid, she used to wash my clothes, even as an adult sometime. And I went down, I'm like, Nani, what are you doing? She's there on the ironing board. And one time, she was ironing my jeans. Hey, Nani, I appreciate that, but I don't need a pleat in my jeans. That ain't real cool. Oh, okay. No worry, Joy. No worry. That's okay. I'm going to take care. Then she's done it. Then she, and I'm not, God is my witness. She ironed my underwear. To all the single people online, to all the single people in the place, to all the single men, if you find a young lady who's willing to iron your underwear, you better put a ring on it. Can't get any better than that. That's awesome. Should have put a ring on. Never mind. Copyright violation will probably take us off Facebook after that. She used to say this to me all the time. I would tell her of amazing things that would happen. And here's what she would say in her broken English. She would say, that's a wonderful, Joshua. You deserve a worse. Nani, I just told you something awesome happened. You kind of undercut me a little bit. You deserve a worse. She meant you deserve worse. And I'm like, that's kind of rude. But if you examine it a little bit, she's actually right. I do deserve worse. But for the grace of God, I get God's best and not what I really deserve. Yeah. See, it's a good reminder that, yeah, you do. See, that's why I try to say, that's why I try to refrain from saying I deserve this or I deserve that. Because really, when you start hanging your hat on what you deserve, you better watch and check up on what you really deserve and understand that God's grace gives you better than you deserve. I don't know about you, but there's a bunch of spouses out here that better be thankful that you got better than what you deserve in your spouse. There's a bunch of parents out here that should say, should be glad that you got better than what you deserve with your kids, because I saw what you were like growing up and you were a hellion and your kids are awesome. Yeah. Like, people look at me like, how'd you get such great kids? I said, I don't know, because me and my wife, we were terrible. Let me brag on my kids. Can I brag on my kids for a minute? But first, let me ask all the teachers a question. Why do y'all send grade cards home on the day before the weekend starts? I don't know if you're like me, but man, I had many grade cards ruin my weekends as a kid. My kids came home, and the lowest GPA on a grade card was 3.865. Now, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome, right? And tomorrow we're going to have a party, and they're going to get better than what they deserve. You know what they deserve? Nothing. Because that's what a Pennington's supposed to bring home. You know what I'm talking about? That's what you're supposed to. Where's my 0.2 points left? I mean, supposedly you can get a 5.0 now, so you're like down by 1.2. What are you doing? Slacking off, right? We're going to throw a party. We're going to have a big time. Give them better than they deserve. Why? Because of grace. Because all the time I get grace, all the time you get grace. And grace is contagious. So is self-righteousness. And grace is amazing, and we ought to spread that. And so the young man, he gets a robe, and he gets a ring, and he gets the fatted calf, and he gets all this stuff that he didn't deserve. And the dad throws a big old party. An amazing party for better than what they deserve. But then at the end of the story, something interesting happens. The younger brother comes in and has a little bit of an attitude. You didn't do this for me, Dad. And then I didn't get this. You know, God's grace isn't fair. And there'll be some people, they might get upset about the grace of God. They can take it up with him. I didn't do it. He did it. The guy gets upset and he says this. He says, my own words. My whole life, I never broke the rules. My whole life, I always followed the rules. And you've never done this for me. I'm going to submit something to you. He didn't always keep the rules, number one. And number two, I'm sure his dad did plenty for him. He just overlooked it. Here's what he's mad about. He's mad about the fact that grace celebrates progress, not perfection. I'm glad that when God views my life, he sees the progress I've made. I'm glad that when God sees me, when heaven sees me, it says, man, he's not where he's supposed to be, but I'm glad he's not where he used to be. You made a step in the right direction. He made progress. He made forward motion. He did something that was beneficial. See, God, when he looks at us, he doesn't ask for perfection. He asks for progress. He asks for a life that's hungry for him. See, he doesn't want a person who's got it all together. He's not looking for a person who's got everything lined up in a row. God's not looking for the person who's done it all right. He's looking for the person who wants to do it God's way with a sincere heart. He's looking for the person who says, hey, I'm going to do the best I can with God's help, and I'm going to make mistakes as I go, but God loves me no matter what, and I'm going to keep on making progress. I'm going to keep making forward motion. Aren't you more likely to respond to someone who gives you praise during your progress than always demanding perfection? And it's okay to have high expectations. But what about when someone does something good, you say, hey, you did a good job. This dad throws a big time party, kills the best calf that he has, and makes the progress the celebratory item, not perfection. Here's what the father ends up saying. He says, son, everything I have is yours. What's he saying? Everyone's included. I'm not leaving you out. Everyone's in. It includes you. There's an amazing verse in Romans chapter 6. That's what it says. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Paul makes this amazing statement that because of what Jesus has done, no person has to live under the rules of perfection of the law, but that you and I can experience God's grace. I want you to ask yourself a couple questions. I'm going to tell you a story as we close. How many of you have a junk drawer or closet or room or wing or expansion project plan for the extra stuff you've got? Everybody in here, right? If someone were to come into your house and go into that place without invitation, many of us would freak out, wouldn't we? Ah! I can't let you see that part of my house. As some of you responded verbally to, some of you don't even have guests over because it is your house. No! You can't see this. You can't see this part. You think we do the same thing in our life? You think we have a spot that we don't want anyone else to see? I do. I do all the time. Why? Because I'm embarrassed about the imperfection. I'm embarrassed about the fact that it's just, and I'm not advocating that we air all of our dirty laundry. I'm pointing out the fact that every single person in this place has a spot in your heart and your life that's reserved for you. And the grace of God simply says this: I know it's not perfect, but I still want it. The grace of God says, I know it's not all together, but would you open it up to me? The grace of God sits and begs at the bottom and says, hey, I know it's not the thing you're most proud of, but can I have it? God, why do you want it? It's junk. It's garbage. It's not worth anything. No, you don't understand. I don't want you to have it. And the grace of God can make it brand new and clean. Little boy who has a reputation for being defiant in his school, back in the day when students could still be spanked as a form of punishment, is called into the principal's office yet again with the teacher there by his side. The principal says, okay, what'd you do this time? The young boy looks at the principal defiantly, says, I punched Johnny right in the face, and then I shoved his head in the sandbox. And if I could do it again, I would, because I don't like Johnny. Principal says, that's not okay, son. Punishment is required. Little boy looks at him defiantly and says, give me your best shot. I can take it. I've taken it before. I'll take it again. Principal says, no. There is punishment that's required because there are consequences to our actions. But what I need you to understand is I need you to understand something called grace. So he hands the switch to the teacher, and the principal lays his own hands across the desk. And he turns to the little boy and he says, every time the teacher strikes my hands as a form of your punishment that I'm taking, I want you to count. Little boy's like, seriously? Fine. That's awesome. Go for it. Teacher strikes the principal's hand The little boy says, one. The teacher does it again. The little boy says, two. The teacher does it again. The little boy says, three. Four. About this time, the principal's hands are welding up, swelling up. Five. No more. Don't do eight. I promise I won't do it again. Eight. Please. I get it. Nine. Why does it have to be this way? Ten. After that final strike, the boy's down on his knees, tears streaming down his face. And the principal, with swollen hands, grabs the little boy's tear-stained cheeks ever so gently, pulls his chin up, looks him straight in the face, and says, son, this is grace. Here's what the principal understood. It's grace that will transform a life. And the parallel is this. The punishment and pain that we deserved, Jesus took on himself. Took upon himself the beating of our shame. Took on our pain. Took on everything that we deserved and gave for us what we could not give for ourselves. And if you have never experienced the life-transforming, amazing grace of Jesus, I believe that the grace of God is calling out to you today. Today is your day to experience the grace of God. To allow the one who took your sin and my sin, your shame and my shame, and paid the penalty so that we did not have to pay. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're watching on video, I want you to consider this. I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seats. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I am going to ask you to lift your hand so I know exactly who I'm praying with. But if you need God's amazing grace in your life, today's your day. His grace is available. For that thing that has been in that drawer, in that room, in that spot, he's simply saying, give that up to me. I'm going to pray for you. Then I'm going to ask you to respond. If you don't know Jesus or know what it means to know Jesus, but you haven't been walking with him like you should, you need to have a prodigal moment. You need to have a come back to God moment. Today's your day. If you've never put your confidence in God, you've never made Jesus the leader and the Lord of your life, today's your day to say yes to him. I'm asking you to say yes to him. To experience the amazing grace of Jesus. Father, I pray for every person in this place, every person watching online, every person listening to the podcast, watching by video. Lord, draw to yourself by your Spirit individuals who've been far from you, individuals who don't know you, individuals who know what it means to know you but haven't been walking with you like they should. Do that now, touching their hearts, drawing them to your side. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Say, Josh, that's me. You're praying for me. I haven't been walking closely with him. I've been far from him, but today's the day that I make a change. All over this place and watching my video, would you please do this for me? Just raise your hand right now and say, Josh, that's me. I want to receive this amazing grace. Just leave it up for just a moment. Thank you. thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, buddy, thank you, man, thank you, man, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thanks, you guys right there. I see you. That's awesome. Thank you. Gotcha. Thank you very much in the back. You too. Got you. Thanks, buddy. Good for you, man. That's awesome. Hands are still going up and lives are being touched. Thanks, young lady up here. Thanks, buddy. I see you. That's awesome. I don't want to leave you out. I want to lead you in a prayer, a miracle prayer that I'm going to pray with you and lead you in. One last time. Anybody else? That's awesome. Would you all do this with me? Even if you've prayed it dozens of times before, everybody in the house, pray it with those who are praying it maybe for the very first time. Everybody repeat after me. Say this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son. Thank you that he died for me. Thank you that he was raised from the dead just for me. I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Now and forever, I turn from my sin and I turn to your Son and I say, he is Lord. Now and forever. Amen. Can we make some noise for like them? That's awesome.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.